Yeah, hey, Paul.
Hey, Coach Good. How you doing today?
Hey, good. Doing good. You?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, it's an honor and a privilege to speak to you, sir. Just absolutely excited. Just appreciate your time this morning.
You got it. I'm excited about being on. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So let's talk about Crunchy M&Ms. They're making their return to the track after a 10-year hiatus, kind of like you making your return to the Skins the second time.
It's just about the same. I was 11 years. Crispy's been out 10 years. We're excited to have them back. And on Sunday's Daytona 500, every time that Toyota comes off the corner, that Camry with Kyle Busch driving it, it's going to be bright green, and it's going to represent the return of Crispy. So we're excited about that, and I'm excited to be a part of the M&M's team.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Coach. One thing I wanted to ask you about, you know, you're an absolute titan in the two biggest sports in North America, essentially, in the NFL and NASCAR. It's almost like you've lived two different lives, really. What's it been like for you?
I realize I'm one of the most fortunate people in the world, because rarely does anybody get to have a dream and as an occupation. And I've had two of them. And so it's a thrill for me. I know how fortunate I am. I appreciate having an opportunity of being a part of two great sports. And what I found is that they're very similar, you know, football and racing. Amazingly, they're almost exactly the same, because it's what? It's people. It's picking people, putting them on a team, getting them to sacrifice their individual goals for the goals of the team. It's teamwork. And
well,
so
that's a
big part of life. So I'm thrilled to be a part of now the M&M's team, and it's a thrill for us to race in some place like the Daytona 500 on Sunday.
Absolutely. I'm excited about that, too. You know, you touched on a great point and a key thing I see in your legacy. In almost every interview I see with a former player or former driver, almost every guy will refer to you as a father figure. I think that's amazing. What do you do with guys or any individual, really, to make them, you know, the role traditionally of a coach or a man in power can be to sort of emasculate guys to get the most out of them, but your guys leave feeling empowered and good about themselves. Can you talk about that?
Well, I think when you say father figure, it makes me feel kind of old, but having said that, I think all of us out there, I think that's the reason why the coaching profession is just really, really great. All of us that play sports, we do what? Most of the time we look up to our coach. And I'm thrilled to have had some of the greatest football players that's ever been in the NFL, and some of the best race car drivers and team members here at Joe Gibbs Racing. And so you surround yourself with good people. If you pick the right people, they're going to make you look good. And so that's kind of been my deal. And then you have close relationships. We invited back our Redskins from the 11-year era where we went to four Super Bowls, and 91 of those guys came back here. And we had 3 days of telling stories and everything, and it was a great celebration for us.
That had to be a great feeling for you professionally and personally. What's you know, talking about just some of the icons that you've worked with in your career, can you talk about Jack Kent Cook? What it was like to work with him?
Mr. Cook, I think, was a great owner, and for this reason. Many times he had a strong opinion, and he stick that finger out at me and goes, you need to do this. But you know what he always said before I left the meeting? He said, but it's got to be your decision. You decide. Now, many times if I did something and it turned out to be he was correct, he'd definitely let me hear about it. But Mr. Cook always said to me, he said, it's got to be your decision. You make the decision. And I think he had the other thing about Mr. Cook, he was always at his best when things were at their worst. He would come in, he would visit me. I figure he's going to really be upset. You know, we'd be going through a bad streak of losses. And he would say to me, he says, hey, Joe, he said, we're going up and we're going down together. And he said, he had a favorite saying. He says, I'm going to lay down and bleed a while, and then we're going to get up and fight again. So he was special, I think, for me, just like Dan Snyder was the second go-around for me. I had two great owners.
Wow. Yeah, again, speaking of some of these icons, not to make you feel old, Coach Gibbs, Don Coryell. Can you talk about working as an offensive coordinator with him on the Chargers for those 2 years?
Don Coryell, I played for Don, and then I coached with him three different times. And so I think what you got there, I'm hoping he gets voted into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But what Don was, he was the most intense person, passionate person about what he was doing of anybody I've been around. I mean, he would get up every morning thinking football. When he got ready for a game, he got ready as if he's going to cover the opening kickoff. And he was able to take that feeling and passion and put it right through to his players. And the players all knew he was genuine. This is the way he felt. He hated the opponent. By the time we got to the game, he found a way to hate them, no matter what. And he was able to portray that. Then the other thing, he was extremely flexible, and he provided an atmosphere where it was very creative. And his passing attack and all the things he did, he was a very creative guy. So I was very fortunate to play for him, and I was very fortunate to get a chance to coach under him, and I think I owe him a lot, and we miss him.
Yeah. Well, speaking about your coaching career, it just occurs to me that the Skins dynasty really doesn't get the props that it really deserves. Why do you think that is the case historically? We hear about the Packers, we hear about the Patriots, and, even the 49ers. What's the scoop there, do you think?
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that because I feel strongly about it, and I think you're right. For our 11 years, for that period there, we went to 4 Super Bowls in 11 years.
Yeah.
And we had great players. I think there are more of our players should be in the Hall of Fame. I think that era, you're right, for some reason, that era kind of gets left out. Obviously, the 49ers were in there and the Giants, and there were some other real good teams. But I feel just like you voiced the opinion, which I agree with. I think
it has something to do with the first one coming in the strike-shortened season. Is it easy to dismiss for some reason?
Well, we had a strike-shortened season. We also had a regular season. We had everything in there. And so I think to be able to overcome all that and the adversity and what it takes to be able to get to a Super Bowl and to do it four times, that says a lot about our ownership, our front office, and our players. And so I agree with you, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
Well, one other thing, I've thought about this probably more than I should have, but it's almost like you're punished, and the legacy's punished because of your versatility. You've got 3 different quarterbacks that you win a Super Bowl with, 3 different running backs, defense had a couple of stalwarts, but really there's a lot of personnel changes there. I mean, as you expect over an 11-year period, do you think the success you had with just so many different personnel changes, that sort of been detrimental in hindsight, if that's even a possibility?
Well, you bring up an interesting point. I've never looked at it that way. But I think we had a lot of those players that went through 2, 3, 4 Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. And I think that for that period of time, we did have 3 different quarterbacks. But I think it says a lot about the surrounding players that we had with them. And those 3 guys. People always say you won 3 Super Bowls with 3 quarterbacks. What they leave out is 3 great quarterbacks. You got Theismann, you got Doug, and you got Mark Rippon. I mean, those guys were special. And so we had special players. But I appreciate you bringing it up this morning. You make me feel good, okay? Because I think we need more attention on what we were able to accomplish, that team, in that 11-year period.
It's just a travesty to me, and I'm not even a Skins fan. It's just I'm a history guy.
I appreciate that. Believe me, you've shown that you're very knowledgeable about the Redskins. I'll say that.
Well, one more thing about that. Can you talk about the development of the Stickleback set? You're credited, of course, with inventing that. Can you talk about the first day you implemented it at practice? Did you say, hey, come on, guys, check this out? How did that come to be?
Yeah, I think that's real interesting. You bring up a great point. We were with the Chargers, and we drafted Kellen Winslow, great tight end. And we found when we put him on the line of scrimmage where you normally put a tight end, they can hammer him with 2 linebackers, and it made it hard for him to get off the line of scrimmage. So we started thinking about it. We said, hey, look, let's take him off the line of scrimmage, okay, and let him move back and forth. And as a consequence, let's take out a fullback. Let's put 1 back there and let an H-back, let him play H-back. So we could actually have a tight end, get Kellen Winslow moving around, and there we actually wound up with a one-back set, and that's kind of how it all evolved. It started with Kellen, and then when we came to the Redskins, we had a problem trying to block the outside linebacker from the Giants. If you remember, that guy.
Oh, yeah, I think.
And so we said, hey, we can't block him with a tackle. We can't block it. What can we do? We said, let's put a tight end in front of him. So again, our H-back, okay, served a real purpose. If you go over and put an H-back in front of Lawrence Taylor, you make him at least now rush around that tight end, and we got a chance to at least now have a chance to block him. And so there were different reasons to go to it, but basically it started with Kellen, but then we kind of developed the one-back set, and it was very productive for us, and it allowed us to have a lot of formations too. So it kind of, right, it was an evolution, but I can tell you're a real football guy.
Oh, absolutely, sir. Well, this is my final question. I know you got a lot of interviews to do today and this morning. I really, really appreciate it. The last question I had is just about you personally. How much of your success has been attributed directly to your will? And also, as you've sort of increased your skill in life, have you noticed that life sort of accommodates by demanding more of you?
I think, you know, for me, it's been all about teams. It's been about people. I like people. And it's been able to recruit them, put them together in a group, and like I said, ask them to sacrifice themselves and their individual goals for the goals of the team. And so it's been about people. And so I look back in my life, it's interesting you asked me that, and I think a lot about all the people and the relationships I've had. And that to me is a real thrill to, you know, experience. And most of it, when you're in sports, a lot of it has to do with the tough times. You go through tough times and losses, practices, all the hard work on the field, and that's what kind of binds everybody together. And then you're hoping that you can kind of capture that feeling and wind up winning a Super Bowl. And that's hard to do. So I've been thrilled to be around the right people, is the best way for me to put it, and with the right ownership and front office and those assistant coaches. I had great defensive coaches. I worked most of my time with the offense, but our coaching staff had a lot to do with our success.
Wow. Well, I could talk your off all day, Coach Gibbs. I just wanted to say what a thrill it's been to speak with you, sir, and I just appreciate your knowledge and the style of guy you are so much.
Well, thank you, and if everybody this week at the Daytona 500, we're kicking that thing off with a green Toyota Camry.
That's
it's
right.
It's going to be crispy on it, and we're bringing back Crispies. So everybody, go buy you some M&Ms, and let's get going this weekend, and we're going to go all year long. Thank you.
Heck yeah. Good luck this week.